Thanks a lot. Good morning. The topic of this presentation is utilizing sensor technologies to evaluate and improve cloud communication management. I'm going to spend most of my time on some of the steps before we can actually get into evaluating and improving cloud irrigation. And then towards the end of this presentation, I'll talk about that too. Shimon Adada is a PhD student working on this project, and Dr. Randy Bowman is our cotton specialist located in our Southwest Research Station in Elvis, Oklahoma. Excuse me, okay. So slow moisture sensors, very quickly, it's one of the several methods that can be used to improve irrigation management. And if you are a cotton grower in Southwest Oklahoma or even in Central Oklahoma, you know why it's really important to improve irrigation management and be able to do best you can with available and in many cases declining water resources. They can help us answer two questions: when to start irrigation, when the soil is dry enough that we need to add some water back to it, and when to stop irrigation. So basically, how much to apply. So that would be the second question. So a complete irrigation is scheduling. But when you look at the numbers out of USDA NAS report, this is a Farm and Ranch Irrigation Survey 2013, in Oklahoma only 11% of growers reported using soil moisture sensors for scheduling their irrigations. And that percentage is based on the irrigated acres. So that could be three growers or something, I don't know. The number one state was Nebraska with 23% of the irrigated acres reported using soil moisture sensors for scheduling irrigations. California was the second with 17%, and the national average is 11%, similar to Oklahoma. So even at best, less than a quarter of growers, and that's for all crops, it's not cotton, but less than a quarter of our growers are using this technology, even though it has existed for a very, very long time, before I was born. So there's a huge potential to improve. We also need to understand what are some of those obstacles and some of the challenges. And I can tell you a major challenge is that there are too many sensors out there, and every year they come up with new names and new models, and all of them claim that they're the best out there and they do a super job. And then when you look at the specialists, the researchers, folks that at universities like myself, we have a very high standards when we talk about accuracies, acceptable accuracies for sensors. Almost none of these sensors can meet that accuracy. So these are some of the things that we are trying to sort out in this project. So we wanted to do a field comparison of four types of sensors under different conditions, crops, soils, conditions. We wanted to use commercial sensors. We didn't want to use research-grade sensors. We wanted the results to be applicable to growers. So we went out and picked the sensors that growers can go out there and purchase. We also used the data loggers that come with the sensors and also the calibration equations that are built in by the manufacturers. So no manipulation of university researchers in this process. Wanted to report errors and usability of each sensor under different conditions. So we had two study sites. One was in Central Oklahoma, the Fort Cobb area, showing this at FCB, and then one in Southwest area, Altus, I'm showing this as ALT. In the Fort Cobb area, planted crop was corn. But what I want you to pay attention is this was a sandy loam soil, the irrigation system was center pivot, and the soil EC was 1.2 decisimens per meter. That's really, really good quality, very low EC. The second place, this Altus location, was under cotton, clay loam soil, so much higher in clay content, far irrigation, and the EC of soil was 7 decisimens per meter, so salty conditions. And that's kind of towards the upper end of what you can find out there, but when you go, there's an irrigation district in Southwest Oklahoma, Lugard Altus. When you go outside that irrigation district, that becomes more common to see ECs of that type and maybe even sometimes higher, especially with some of the irrigation water they're applying. So we have two different sites with different clay contents and EC values and irrigation systems and crops. Sensors we used, this new Acclima TDR 315. It's a true TDR. All those huge electronics have been jammed into this small head. This was developed in collaboration with researchers at USDA-ARS at Bushland. A Campbell Scientific CS655. It's a reflectometer, a time domain reflectometer. Decagon Devices GS1. And then Spectrum SM100. And this is SM100 is probably the cheapest one out of all that we use. So again, all of them, we use factory data loggers. If they provided rain gauges, we also used factory rain gauges, and the calibration equations were the same. So this is how sensors were installed. We made sure that the distances are enough so that there's no interference of the electromagnetic fields at 8 inches depth, 4 replications. We took gravimetric samples to compare the results with, and looked at mean bias error, root mean square error, and index of agreement. Now, this is the first side, the fourth COP. So remember, this was low clay content, lower clay content, and really low EC. And you see the lines. The blue is TDR315. The pink, this one is CS655. And then you have the GS1, the Decagon devices. And then this red one is the SM100, which is above all of them. And the dots here, or the circles, are those gravimetric samples that were taken. And then on this axis, we have irrigations or precipitations in inches applied. And of course, this is the volumetric water content. You can view it as a percentage of water content, too. So obviously, the SM100 is overestimating by a big margin of error compared to the other sensors, but when you look at the gravimetric samples and the three other ones, they're doing pretty good job. This is the performance assessment for all four sensors, a mean bias error, a root mean square on this axis, and then the relative root mean square error when you divide it by the average gravimetric samples. You see the CS655 is doing a better job than TDR315 and the other sensors. And this is the index of agreement, the same story, ranging between 0.94 to 0.43. Now, I mentioned about the errors and what we expect when you look at the publications, what should be the error threshold for using different sensors in irrigation management. And a lot of those thresholds are pretty small. And that's when my colleagues come up with those thresholds, they look at how much irrigation you apply in each event and what these errors translate into depth of irrigation if you're dealing with 1.5 meter root zone, things like that. So you end up with a really, really small number. So maybe only these two sensors will pass that test, and these two won't, which are the cheaper sensors out there. But when you look at the correlation coefficients, all of these sensors are very highly correlated. You can see the numbers are really, really high. So it's possible to simply, so it's basically we're dealing with an offset, and it's possible to come up with easy calibration coefficients maybe, and still use the SM100 sensors rather than rejecting them just for having a larger error and discouraging people of using them. Even without that that calibration conversion, because they're highly correlated, they can still provide very useful information about the responses to irrigations, especially when you use them at multiple depths. And all you want to know is if you are losing water at the bottom of the root zone or not. Okay. Now, this is the second side, and this is where things get interesting. This is our cotton field. It's high clay content and high EC. And you see these lines, especially the three that were right on top of each other in the sandy soil, sandy loam soil, and low EC. They all separate from each other, and they're all above the gravimetric water content. So we have overestimation error. This is what we kind of expect with these type of technologies, electromagnetic soil moisture sensing. The errors were pretty significant when you look at even the TDR and CS655. You can see the index of agreement values here, pretty low. And then when you look at the correlation coefficients, you also lose a little bit of, or more than a little bit of that too, especially with sensors like SM100 with the other sensors. You can still see that, for example, GS1 and TDR315, they're very highly correlated, even though this kind of different technologies, a little bit different technologies. Okay, now how we can use this information with all the caveats and advantages that we provided. So I'm going to show you two examples that we are working with cotton growers in Oklahoma. This is one cotton field. We went with a soil moisture probe. We're also checking the accuracy of this sensor, but It's interesting, this one does not report the volumetric water content in percentages. This one is reports what they call scaled frequency. So it only tells you that it's between 0 and 100, but it's a relative number that tells you if it's 0, it's bone dry. If it's 100, it's in water. But it's not a volumetric water content. The beauty of this thing is you get multiple depths every 4 inches, all the way down to 48 inches. That's the sensor, the probe itself installed. We usually install it right on the cotton row, and that's the communication tower, and we have a rain gauge below the irrigation nozzles. Earlier in the season, later in the season, what I want you to show to look at is this graph here, and I'm sorry some of the colors are not showing up good, but the red line is the 4-inch, the sensor at 4-inch. That's the shallowest sensor, and you can see it responds to all irrigation events. Then you have the 12-inch sensor, which is this yellow one. You lose a lot of those responses. And by the time you get to the 20-inch, which is this green one, then you don't see many of those irrigations. Now let's look at the two deepest ones, the 36-inch and the 44-inches. You see basically no response to irrigation at all. So in this situation, the irrigation amounts that were applied, we're not reaching below 36 inches. And you can see when kind of in late July and early August, when the roots really develop and go search for water, there's a big decline, so we're mining water at those depths. And then after that point, when the roots are there and we feel the middle of the growing season, it just stays there, it doesn't respond to any irrigations, we're not losing any water to that. The situation here, is that this grower is probably losing more water due to direct evaporation off of canopy and soil surface, because he was applying very frequent irrigations, small volumes of irrigations, like a third of an inch, a quarter of an inch, but going very rapidly around the field and applying those small irrigations. So he's not really pushing that water down in the root zone and making it available for crops to use. It's more subject to direct evaporation. So that was one of the reasons that how we're using this sensor technology and sensor information, going back to the growers, working with them, and trying to show them how they can use this to improve. Now, in this case, this cotton grower had only half of his pivot under cotton. The north half was under peppers, so he kind of had to go quickly. The peppers were more important from an economic standpoint, so he had to adjust his irrigation scheduling based on that. But it was interesting to see this situation here. The second case is this other cotton field in Saturn, Oklahoma. And this is also an interesting case. This bizarre thing you see here is, for some reason, we had a hiccup. So for this period, we did not have any soil moisture recorded. So the system just connected the two points between the two, before the gap and after the gap. The rest of it is pretty much the same, and even though these two cotton fields are in different locations, different growers, different soil conditions, different planting dates, different varieties, you still see the same situation with irrigation management. So we're not really losing any irrigation below the 36-inch sensor until we get all the rainfalls here in late September, and that's when you see some responses, more in the 36-inch and then a little bit in the 44-inch depth, but then it's not really as significant when you compare it to what you see at the 4-inch after all these rainfalls that they've received. So in this case, we saw a little bit of that too. This entire circle was under cotton. We saw a little bit of that irrigation and scheduling issue, that it's high frequency scheduling, applying a small amount of irrigation water, going too quickly around the field, especially at the beginning of the growing season when you have more exposed soil. And thus more potential for losing water to evaporation. So this was something that we brought up to the grower. It was interesting for them to find out about. That's all I had. Just acknowledge our funding resources. We had an NRCS CIG project that provided funding, Cotton Incorporated provided funding, and also an agreement with ARIS at El Reno, Oklahoma, provided funding for this research, and all the students that put a lot of hard work and sweat into this project. Thank you.